For years, Wyoming has been the leader in coal production. Production has dipped slightly in the state, but Wyoming still produces 40% of the nation's coal, far more than any other state. As part of Inside Energy's series on the future of coal, reporter Clay Scott visited the state and found the industry's imprint on the West runs deep.
Traveling south of Gillette, Wyoming, through an arid and austere country once home to herds of bison, you pass coal mine after coal mine, carving deep troughs into the prairie. Seen from a distance, the immensity of the mining activity is striking. But descend into one of these open-pit mines for the first time, and it's hard not to be overwhelmed by the sheer scale of things. Blasting teams set explosive charges to loosen the steep sides of what look like gigantic sunken amphitheaters. Colossal digging machines called coal shovels load hundreds of tons at a time into haul trucks three stories high. At the Eagle Butte mine near Gillette, J.D. Deechee showed me the coal shovel he's operated for Alpha Coal for a decade, 7 days on, 7 days off.
You drive your truck to the dirt shovel, get a load of dirt, take it to the dump, come back and do it again and again and again and again for 12 and a half hours.
The coal that's mined each year in the Powder River Basin, 400 million tons of it, supplies power to millions of people. But while you might not have to blow the tops off mountains to get at the seams, coal mining here has still impacted the land and the people who depend on it in profound and far-reaching ways.
It really seems that we're the only ones that don't have the ranch for sale and hoping to sell it to a coal company.
That's L.J. Turner. His family has ranched in the southern end of the Powder River Basin since 1916.
This is home. It's been home for all of our lives, and it's going to continue to be so.
We're standing on a low ridge at the eastern edge of LJ's ranch, looking out at the North Antelope Rochelle coal mine. The mine sprawls for miles over pastures where cattle once grazed. This is, or it was, a landscape of rolling grassland punctuated by rugged breaks. But the contours of the land have been altered to get at the coal. By law, the coal companies are bound to reclaim the land when they finished mining it.
The coal miners over here, whenever they first moved in and started taking our pastures, they said, oh, you just wait until we reclaim this land. It's going to be so good, you won't believe how good it's going to be. And that's been 30 years ago, maybe. And our cows have never had a mouthful of reclaimed grass in those 30 years.
Of even greater concern, says LJ, is the steady drying up of local water sources, which he attributes to coal mining.
Are they going to be able to reclaim these aquifers in the creek? Because I don't think they can. All they're doing is talking theory, and here I'm living the practical thing.
In western Montana, at his home along the Bitterroot River, I met Bill Ritchie. Over more than 20 years, he managed several mines in the Powder River Basin.
There are problems. There are water problems. There are things that are hard to replace and hard to reclaim.
When Bill first started working in coal, he says, western mines were being applauded for producing a product that was much cleaner than eastern coal. But toward the end of his career, he told me, he started to re-examine some of his assumptions about coal mining.
We didn't understand the impact on the atmosphere and the greenhouse gases. We didn't understand mercury as well, or the problems it creates in people's health, just burning it.
Bill Ritchie says the industry has been working on cleaning up coal from the time he started in the business, and they're still working on it and not any closer to a solution. In the meantime, coal, that powerful and dirty and much debated black rock, is certain to remain a feature of the economy and landscape of the West for many years to come. For Inside Energy, I'm Clay Scott.